Hello, I'm Chris Basden, an editor with AICPA's Journal of Accountancy. You're listening to the JFA podcast, where we talk about the key issues facing the accounting profession. Today on the podcast, I'm going to be talking about improving communication at smaller firms. But before we get started, please take a few seconds to listen to a short message from our sponsor.
Did you know 75% of people now prefer to pay by credit or debit? With CPA Charge, you can let your clients pay their bill online and you'll get the reporting details you need for easy reconciliation. AICPA members can sign up at cpacharge.com/podcast and get your program fee waived for 6 months.
Welcome back. Today, we're going to be talking about the importance of communication in small firms with Melody Phoenix, a CPA and CGMA who owns Phoenix & Company in Fairbanks, Alaska. So Melody, let's start off with some perspective on your firm. Can you please tell us a little bit about it? How big is it? How many employees? What kind of work do you do? And talk a little bit about what it means to kind of be based in Fairbanks as well.
Sure. I own a small firm in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I have one other CPA on staff and two or three staff accountants usually at any given time. Part-time staff, including an intern, and then a full-time administrator who tries to keep us all in line, so to speak. And then I also use subcontractors as we need to fulfill our work for our clients. A lot of my clients, I tell people, our clients look like us. They're other small businesses, small, closely held companies that are really family businesses in that sense. Sure. And a lot of the work that we do for them is on a consultation basis. We're also doing their tax work and those types of things, but we roll a lot of that information or a lot of those tasks together into what we call a service and support agreement. And what's nice about that is that it's an individualized scope for us with our clients as to the type of work that they need, and it allows us to become really in some ways a part of their team as to what they need from a management standpoint as well as tax planning or other types of work.
Why is communication such an important topic for CPAs at small firms like yours?
I think that when you think about communication and you think about it relative to the work that we do as CPAs and CGMAs, we have to recognize that the nature of finance is inherently emotional for our clients. When they come in and are talking about issues, a lot of times there are emotions attached to that. Joy, sadness, anger, frustration. And recognizing that, I think that's a piece of where, for me, when I began to think about accounting and the focus of my firm, I came up with the idea that accounting really is a healing art. We act not only as an advisor, but often as a counselor and a friend to our clients. And at the core of that is a need for communication. For me, communication is about sharing our knowledge. I was always taught that it's in sharing knowledge that you find empowerment. And so I think that it's important to be able to listen and learn from our clients the different things that they need, their issues that they have, but then also to share our knowledge so that they feel more confident and more empowered by the work that we do. For me, sometimes this is even just sitting down and explaining to a client what really is contained in a tax return for them, what a banker or somebody else might be looking at if they bring in their tax return so that they have a level of confidence as to what is contained in that document and what it might say about them.
And what about the challenges that you face with staff? Because a lot of the things that you mentioned there were communication challenges with clients, which is obviously very important. But I feel like anytime you're managing people, you're probably going to have some challenges with the folks that you're working with in terms of communication. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. When I think about communication with staff, one of the first things that I've had to recognize is that even with all of the research and information that we have about different groups of people based on age, that staff communication is very individualized. And so even though all of my staff are millennials, which isn't necessarily a term that they like, that they all bring different approaches in regard to communication. We all have different communication styles or different techniques or tools that we might have. And I had to actually understand that for some of my staff, they don't have tools and techniques. The concepts of communication haven't been something that they were developing in college or that they have an understanding of from just learning as they've come along. And so for me, one of the challenges that I've had is actually recognizing the need to help them develop the tools and techniques that they can utilize in communication with me, with clients, and taking the time to really help them develop those ideas. I think that time is a challenge for communication issues, both with staff and with clients. We face a lot of pressure. We face deadline pressure. We face day-to-day time pressure. We face the pressures of developing staff. I mean, all of these different things that have this sense of a time constraint. And so sometimes we forget to step back and take the time to really listen fully and to listen and learn and develop ideas both with our staff and with clients about how to communicate and the importance of communication, not only one-way communication, but asking for feedback and seeking ideas to come back to me as well as ideas that I might provide.
So that's really interesting. And I'm wondering, when you talk about some of the challenges that you have, you know, working with staff and some of the things that maybe that they need to improve on, are there any examples that you can cite? So let me throw something out there. A lot of times we hear that millennials maybe aren't as good on the phone as folks who are Gen Z or boomers. Is that something that you've seen, or is that just a stereotype that's not true?
I would say that I can't stereotype all of my staff into any millennial stereotype at all. Some of them do stereotype with different elements of millennial stereotypes, but it is not across the board. Communication on the phone is something that most of my staff haven't had a lot of experience with, especially in some of the more formal atmospheres that we're dealing with, or asking for information or additional documentation for clients. And sometimes they just need practice. They need practice, they need ideas, they need to be told that it's okay to practice. And I think that is something that is important. Communication takes practice. And I think that, again, under time pressure, we forget to take the time to practice. And with my staff, we do talk a lot about practicing communication. If they're going to call and talk to a client and they aren't sure what they need to say, then they can practice. When they're writing an email, they can print it out and we can talk about how somebody else might read that. And I think that opening the door to practicing communication allows them to gain confidence quicker.
What are some of the mistakes, probably honest mistakes, that you think that small firm leaders make in regards to trying to improve communication?
I think for me, initially, I didn't recognize the importance of taking the time for it. Even taking the time for regular staff meetings in a really small firm seemed almost a waste of time.
Right.
But all of those types of opportunities for communication really are beneficial. And I think that also, for me, again, even communicating with staff about some of the challenges that I face as their employer and opening up those conversations. Initially, I would often pay staff based on an anticipated level that I wanted them to be at, hoping that they would somehow know to just seek that level of knowledge or capacity. And instead, I found that it's more beneficial to really talk to them about where it is that they're at, where they want to develop, communicate about what we need to move them from point A to point B, and talk to them about the differences that come with responsibility and pay and time commitment in them moving along that path. It's interesting. I think that I had to also realize that simply developing process is not developing communication. What I mean by that is, a lot of times in small firms, we understand that we need a process that everybody follows to complete different tasks. But we forget that that process is really an opportunity to involve our staff in communicating about workflow, about ideas for change, about frustrations, about challenges they may be experiencing with clients, and instead just look at it from a standpoint of, are you following the process? Mm-hmm. So I found it to be more fluid than I initially thought. Communication is something that I'm constantly talking about with my staff. I'm looking for collaborative ideas, both from my staff and from my clients, because if I'm not asking for collaboration, but I'm simply making a decision that we haven't talked about, that we aren't communicating about, I personally find that a lot of times I move to a level of frustration mm-hmm. faster. And communicating from a level of frustration, for me at least, is a little bit of a dangerous spot to communicate from, and sometimes contains unintentional consequences.
Right, sure.
And so trying to communicate more, trying to find opportunities to communicate more and involve my staff and my clients with frustration. Sometimes the frustrations that we're feeling with clients, I think clients also feel. Mm-hmm. And simply by saying we're frustrated about the time constraint that we constantly feel that's coming based on the work that you're bringing and the quality of what you bring in for us to then do our work is something that we need to talk about. And I've seen clients relax and be able to say, I'm frustrated too, and we need your help with changing things. So simply operating in an isolated mode of assuming that the communication or the feedback isn't going to be positive sometimes creates an even worse situation.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the personal things that you've done to improve communication at your firm? I mean, I think you've already given me some examples, but they're interesting. I'd like to hear some more.
Sure. I read a lot. And when I'm reading, you know, I'm really looking for ideas. A lot of times it's reminders of the importance of communication, the different types of communication, the importance of listening mm-hmm. when you're communicating. And for me, I also believe that asking for feedback is an opening to communication that I didn't understand initially how not only important it is, but how freeing it is for my staff and for my clients to feel that they're a part of it. And having regular conversations, as I mentioned before, you know, initially staff meetings seemed like something that was just cutting more into my day and into the deadlines of my day. But checking in and telling people what's going well and asking them what isn't going well.
Do you have any suggestions on how often you should do something like that? So do you try to meet with each team member one-on-one, you know, once every couple weeks or once a month, or do you have any suggestions on that?
This is something that's actually evolving right now in my firm. I have a very quick morning meeting with my lead accountant, the other CPA that I have, and my administrator every morning, like just a quick 5 minute, do we have anything that we all need to be focusing on for the day? Kind of a meeting. And a lot of my staff then will also come in and check with me at some point in the day, or at least during the week, as to where they think that their focus is. So from a workflow standpoint, we're having these little quick mini meetings. And then currently, especially with a lot of the changes that are going on, we do a lot of tax work. And so we have a brief 30-minute instructional staff type of a meeting at least once a week. And then I also try to recognize at the end of anything that is a big project, whether it be with a client or whether it be a type of project, as we closed out October 15th here, we actually sat down and talked about which clients created the greatest challenge for us as we were facing that last deadline. And when we talk about those challenges, we've changed the dynamic of that communication to be talking about what ideas that we have regarding what was the one element that, if it had changed, might have shifted that from a challenging return to a return that wasn't in a category that my staff don't like.
So you were specific. That was the thing. It wasn't just,
yes,
we didn't like doing that return. It was, and maybe I'm simplifying it here, but we didn't like doing that return because they brought it to us in a shoebox or whatever.
Exactly. There's almost always something that is behind the frustration, is what we found. So when we talk about client issues in my office, I'm looking at what ideas my staff have for adjusting the experience that they aren't liking.
Right.
Is it timing? Is it, sometimes it comes down to, we really need to talk to that client about providing them more training or their staff more training so that the information that we're receiving is not necessarily better, but if there are going to be issues with the data that we're receiving, that we're knowing about that problem early on. And empowering my staff to identify those as issues that we can change has been really amazing, because they now look at problems that they're facing, not as problems, but opportunities to really think about what is the issue and what ideas do they have as a staff member. Even my intern can come up with ideas as to things that could be altered that could make a difference for him in the work that he's doing. And so opening that concept of coming up with solutions really is empowering for my staff, I think. And I learn a lot because they have a different perspective than I do. They have a different experience level than I do. And a lot of times the ideas that they come up with resonate better with my client than things that I might.
So I asked you what were some of the personal things that you've done to improve communication. What about some of the organizational or structural things that you've done to improve communication at your firm?
One thing that I had to first realize with my firm was that people are often uncomfortable with the concept of candor initially. Mm-hmm. And that relates to both staff and to clients. But I think especially with staff, you know, when they're coming out of college and they don't know what's okay to communicate or how to communicate, and helping them to realize that it's not only important, but that we want to provide a culture where it is encouraged, opens the door. And sometimes it's having the conversation with my staff members, even as interns, to remind them that if they aren't communicating with me, if they're deciding what I think or how I feel about how they're doing, then they're eliminating the opportunity for growth. And as I began to understand this with my staff, we started as a staff this summer utilizing a program that comes from that was available through PCPS, and it's called First 15. And for the first 15 minutes of every day, every member of my staff, from the administrator to the intern, reads for 15 minutes. And we provide a reading list, we provide the books, but that also provides an opportunity for them to develop the techniques and the tools for communication. And it opens the door for discussion. We aren't always all reading the same book at the same time, but we can have meetings where we just talk about these books that we're reading and ideas for communication, for change, for how it's going to impact us. And that little structural change has had a tremendous impact on my staff. We talk a lot about communication. My staff would tell you that it's something that comes up on almost every staff meeting. I think that if I don't talk about communication, they'd be a little bit more worried. But I think that that is really important for us to understand that we don't necessarily communicate in the same way. Mm-hmm. I will never be able to text as fast as my staff. Or even some of my clients. And understanding that we communicate in so many different ways and talking about the different things that you can pull from communication, from an email, from a text, and being sensitive to what somebody might be reading into that, as opposed to being able to read someone's facial expressions or tone in their voice. And so inside of our company, we have a lot of elements where there is an expectation of communication, of a lot of different types of feedback. With our clients, as I've mentioned, I want that feedback. I want my staff to be able to feel comfortable coming up with a list of things that they don't think are working well and ideas for change.
You mentioned the books that you're reading in First 15. What types of books are they? And you know, you said that you come up with the reading list, but where do you get your ideas from?
A lot of my ideas initially came from on the PCPS website. When you download the program First 15, there are recommended books that are right there, and they talk about like how many books you would need for a staff of a certain size. For me, I've altered some of that reading just based on my staff and some of the stuff that we're working on. The first book that I have all of my staff read is a book called How to Say Anything to Anyone by Sherry Harley, and they actually love the title. They also enjoy a lot of the different things that it talks about in that book are about candid communication and about the importance of feedback and even about the perspective of feedback, not seeing or looking at feedback as criticism, but as an opportunity for conversation, for change, for development. Another book that I have my staff read comes from that list, a book called Fish. And there are a lot of the books that are on the First 15 reading list that I tell my staff I consider Dr. Seuss business books. And what I mean by that is that they're easy to read. You can read little 15-minute segments, but at the end there is this moral compass. There is this concept or idea that comes back to the importance of business beliefs in our small firms and what those might be, and opens discussions for them.
So you mentioned feedback a minute ago. How do you seek feedback, staff feedback on communication? How evaluate the things that you're doing and how you might make even more changes to improve communication?
I really am looking for constant feedback from my staff, and it's sometimes hard for them to embrace that I really do want that feedback because they see me as being very busy and having a lot on my plate, and they don't want to bother me. And so just saying that we have an open door policy doesn't do it. I have to schedule time to sit down and talk with my staff and talk about different ways that we can be developing. We look at goal setting, especially after some of the things that we've read, in more than one facet. So we aren't just talking about goals from the standpoint of passing their CPA exam and what are the three steps that they need to do to make sure that that happens, or hitting the next level on of employment. But we also talk about less tangible goals, goals associated actually back to communication, goals that relate to how things are managed. I really encourage my staff to think about how things are managed in the firm, because the sooner that they begin to think about those concepts, the faster that they can participate in helping us see how we might change a process or how we might add something or adjust something to the way that we're operating that could actually create efficiency. And maybe it's how we communicate or what we're telling our clients or how we're including things. And so a lot of the stuff that we do comes back for me to the concept of sharing knowledge. I really do believe that sharing knowledge is an opportunity for empowerment. And my mom always said that knowledge kept is a form of greed. But it's knowledge shared that is true empowerment. And so I really do try to live that in my firm. One of the things that we've actually done that has been amazing for my staff is that when I go to review their work, they can actually sit in on that review. And so it becomes an interactive review opportunity. It doesn't matter if it's a tax return or some other type of work that they're doing for a client, a developmental process for a client, or even an email. We talk about what it is that I'm changing and why, how I'm looking at a return, how I'm reviewing it, and opening up that communication on a feedback loop with my staff has been really wonderful. And I learn a lot about what their approach is and different ideas as to questions that they might have. And if they have the question, how many of my other staff have that same question?
Right.
So it takes a big time commitment. And like all of the other practitioners out there, I feel that time pressure. But I really do think that sometimes we have to look at time as an opportunity to invest. Mm-hmm. To invest in our staff and to invest in our clients. And what I found is that when I take the time to share that knowledge with my clients or with my staff, it always comes back as a reward. Things become more efficient, different ideas are discussed, we can help our clients in more ways. And so that focus really has been something that I've learned, that time doesn't have to be the enemy.
It's interesting because when you're describing what you're doing with reviewing the returns in front of them, or reviewing their work in front of them, it made me think that that's a good way to prevent you from making assumptions, and also prevent the staff from making assumptions that are incorrect. Perhaps they do something a certain way, and you always think, why are they doing that? Or and maybe you don't know, and maybe you make an assumption about why they're doing it, and that's not why they're doing it at all. And I think if you can get that communication going, then maybe you're less frustrated, right? In terms of, you think maybe they're making a mistake or whatever, and you can, come to you can address your own frustration by going, oh no, that's not what they're doing at all. They have a good reason for what they're doing. Maybe it's not right, yes. But I can instruct them on how to fix that.
Some of the things that we've discovered by having those interactive reviews are, I've had staff members who were using an old process, and mm-hmm. I didn't realize it, and they didn't realize it. And also, sometimes for my staff, they've realized that when I'm finding an error, that there's not a criticism associated with that. It's simply something that has to be changed, and that there's not judgment placed relative to an error being inside of a return, that we make mistakes, and it's why we review. And the other thing that I found is that their learning and development is accelerated dramatically by having them have an opportunity to go through the review process.
What are some of the resources that small firm leaders can use to improve their communication?
I use a lot of the resources from the PCPS section of the AICPA website. I mentioned the first 15, which we've found to be a great resource. But also the Trusted Client Advisor Toolkit section has ideas on grading clients. We've downloaded some of that so that my staff can think not only about issues for grading them, but then they can use that as a launching point as to how to change any frustrations that they have. We've used some of the different goal setting ideas that they have in there, both for my staff as well as for meeting with clients to open up conversations about what kind of things we can be doing to help them, to be part of that team, so to speak, moving them in the direction that they want to be, or opening conversations about how they see their company changing. So I use a lot of those ideas, as well as they have inside of some of their HR elements that they have there, different ideas for feedback and discussions with staff and how to document some of those conversations. So, like I say, I'm a pretty big fan of the PCPS tools that are there, so I'm not reinventing the wheel.
Thanks, Melody. And I'd also like to thank our audience for listening today. If you enjoyed this podcast, check out more JFA podcasts on our website and on Podomatic.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.